So seasonal affective disorder, it's actually the symptoms there are very similar to the symptoms of depression. You know, it's kind of the same thing. So it's loss of, it's fatigue, it's loss of interest in the things that you often enjoy doing on a daily basis. There could be a lack of focus in the things that you're trying to do. Also, your sleeping and eating habits are usually off. There's an increase in agitation and anxiety as well, and just not wanting to do the day-to-day things that you typically do. So those are some of the common symptoms that are there.
Style crew, we are here for another episode, and we have a special guest, Dr. Jasmine Easley, here to talk about seasonal as well as holiday depression and anxiety today. A very important topic for this time of year, and I just want to welcome her in by reading over her her long resume. Dr. Jasmine Easley is a licensed professional counselor in Georgia and Michigan, specializing in trauma-informed care for the BIPOC community through her private practice, The Wellness Social. With over 7 years of experience across various mental health settings, including intensive outpatient and residential treatment, community health, social services, and the juvenile justice system, Dr. Easley empowers women to heal and thrive. She's also the founder of TheraPink for Girls Incorporated, a nonprofit dedicated to creating safe, accessible mental wellness programs for young girls. Outside of the therapeutic space, Dr. Easley is a wife, a mother, and spends her time traveling, hiking, and enjoying the outdoors. Well, it sounds like you are clearly very well versed in this space, so we're excited to welcome you in for this conversation, which is very important. I wanted to have this conversation with you because I'm hearing more and more conversations around it. And I'm thinking that this is possibly something that people have been navigating for years, but we're just starting to put verbiage to it and perhaps treatments. That's again, my opinion as a non-medical professional. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts around that. But I want to welcome you in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me in this space. I'm happy to be here and talk about a topic that is very much needed, especially in these times. So it has been something that has been researched over time, but just like anything pertaining to mental health, I think that it's just now getting out there, especially with the increase we have with technology now and social media, it's just being more talked about. So I'm glad we have people like you who are open to having these conversations.
Yeah, I think it's really necessary. And I first realized that this was something when a girlfriend of mine mentioned that she wasn't looking forward to the time change. This was last year. And she said, yeah, I get really sad around this time of year. And I was like, oh, really? And then it seems like as soon as she said that, I came across more people who experience the same thing. So I'm really curious to dive into that.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, tell me more about the Wellness Social and what led you to becoming a trauma-based therapist.
Yeah. So the Wellness Social, it's a compassionate community around mental health and wellness services. So it's actually my private practice that I just started this past year. Very super excited about seeing where we're going to go with it. But I provide virtual, individual, and family therapy services to majority of women, millennial women, actually. And I work specifically with the BIPOC community. So along with the therapy component in the future, what I'm hoping to do is start hosting some virtual and in-person wellness workshops as well. Okay. And a lot of the therapy that I do provide is centered around trauma. As you stated in my bio, I've worked in various settings in the mental health field, from intensive outpatient centers, residential treatment centers, community mental health. And a lot of the common denominator there was trauma, and was something that I became very interested in becoming more knowledgeable about. So it's something that I think is very important to address with a lot of clients that I work with, because trauma has the ability to impact us so much with if you're not willing to address it properly. And so it can really impact people's daily functioning and just the way that you live your life currently and presently. And it's something that I want to make sure I'm there to help others process.
That's interesting, because I didn't realize how interwoven trauma can be in other facets of life. So can you give us some examples of ways that trauma may be showing up that people, that our listeners may not even be aware of, that it's showing up in their day-to-day lives?
Absolutely. So it can show up differently in each person. It varies across the board, but for someone who may have experienced, neglect, you know, as a child, or any type of abuse, you know, during their childhood upbringing, the way that they navigate relationships and the way that they navigate just social interactions, you know, in the community can be very impacting. It can be difficult for people to maintain positive relationships in that space. It can be difficult for people to want to be around other people. And so it may increase some social anxiety there. It may be some hidden triggers that come up as an adult that may not have been there necessarily as a child. So oftentimes what I see is a lot of adult clients coming to me for therapy who didn't realize a lot of the impacts that they were experiencing throughout their life. You know, it's something that they thought was just, oh, a temporary thing, or, you know, maybe I'm experiencing this because of something else, when in reality, it's due to this trauma that happened years ago, where therapy wasn't such a big thing back then. You know, mental health wasn't being talked about. And so now people are starting to realize, like, okay, there's something deeper going on here. And therapy is the one thing that is definitely going to help with that.
Can you talk to me about some examples, maybe, of mild cases of trauma that people may possibly be dismissing as just really minute, but in your experience actually can be defined as trauma, and someone maybe should seek treatment for?
Yeah, you know, some mild cases could be like a accident, a car accident, perhaps, that maybe didn't end up with someone in the hospital per se, but maybe just a collision where someone starts to have like dreams occasionally from just that specific situation. Mm-hmm. Another situation is bullying. You know, bullying mm-hmm. is something common that happens with a lot of people, and they don't realize the impact that it has taken on the way that they, again, navigate certain relationships and the way that they handle themselves within conflict, or even the way it impacts their self-esteem and confidence. So those are just some mild examples that I typically see.
Okay. And I wanted you to touch on that, because I'm, for myself, and maybe everyone doesn't have this mindset, when I hear trauma, I think of major life experiences, which I would even consider a car accident. But like you said, maybe no one ended up in the hospital and there weren't severe injuries, but it was still traumatic. But I also think of something like the death of a loved one, mm-hmm. some type of physical injury. So I wouldn't have even thought about something like bullying, not to minimize it, but I'm glad that you mm-hmm. gave those examples.
Yeah. It's trauma is something that often has to be defined for a lot of people, because typically it is that societal definition of the most extreme thing. And so even when I'm doing my assessments with most of my clients and I'm asking that question of, have you experienced trauma? in the past? And the answer is typically no. You know, I haven't experienced any trauma, but then I go more in depth and I'm asking, you know, okay, did you experience any bullying? Did you experience any physical injuries? Did you experience any, you know, neglect from a parent or another relative? And it's like, oh, wait a minute. You know, yeah, I think I did.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what if, I'm trying to figure out how I want to ask this. So what if you may be in friendship or in relationship with someone and you may have noticed certain things that this person may not have realized that they may be struggling with trauma? What is there any advice that you can give to someone who may be in that situation to lovingly guide them to seeking professional help for navigating through that trauma?
Yeah, you know, I think it's all about that open communication and honesty, you know, really sitting down and having that one-on-one with that friend or family member and telling them, you know, that it might be helpful to seek out a therapist. And if they can kind of explain some of the benefits of therapy as well, and really trying to normalize it too. That's what we're trying to do in the mental health field anyway, is to make sure we're addressing that stigma where it's like, you know, you don't have to be experiencing something completely crazy to have to go to therapy. It can be used just as a natural support. And so, yeah, I think just having that open communication and being honest with them about this is something that may be helpful for you.
Okay. And that's helpful to know. So I want to ask you, what led you to becoming a trauma-based therapist? Because educate us on this. I imagine there's different avenues when it comes to studying within this field. So what led you, and I mean, if I'm wrong, please correct me, mm-hmm. But what led you to wanting to study that?
So the avenue that I took, I got my bachelor's in psychology, I got my master's in clinical mental health counseling, and then I got my PhD in social and behavioral sciences. I could go into any specific therapy that I wanted to, you know, at that point and at this point, but trauma is just something that really interests me in the therapy field. And so that's why I went ahead and went with that. And it's more about getting that additional certification and additional training and being a part of different therapist trauma support groups to gain additional resources to be able to help clients. So that's kind of the trajectory of what led me to becoming a trauma-based therapist. Again, I've worked with so many clients who have experienced trauma. And so all of that experience has helped to mold me into the therapist I am today and me being able to be more effective to help out others.
Okay. No, thank you for sharing that with us. And that definitely all makes sense. And I love that you were able to get to that journey and find your niche to be most effective and share your talents. So I want to ask you, as we dive into our conversation around seasonal depression, seasonal holiday depression and anxiety, have you found in your experience that there may be some trauma related to seasonal depression, or is it a lot deeper than that?
You know, it can vary. Seasonal, I would say that may be more associated with holiday depression. Mm-hmm. Seasonal depression is really focused around just the seasonal changes and also biologically just the chemical imbalances that take place as well. Mm-hmm. There can be certain traumatic events, situations that occur around, say, the winter months that may cause somebody to experience some of those symptoms of seasonal depression. But mm-hmm. the onset really has to do with that seasonal change and the decrease in the daily sunlight that we don't get during that time.
Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So with that, I wanted to ask you, so with me doing research to prepare for our episode, I realized that the clinical term for seasonal depression is SAD, and the acronym stands for seasonal affective disorder. So I know you just mentioned some of the things, one being the lack of access to sunlight because we have essentially shorter days. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the symptoms and ways that someone can identify if they struggle with this disorder?
Yes. So seasonal affective disorder is actually the symptoms there are very similar to the symptoms of depression. You know, it's kind of the same thing. So it's loss of its fatigue, it's loss of interest in the things that you often enjoy doing on a daily basis. There could be a lack of focus in the things that you're trying to do. Also, your sleeping and eating habits are usually off. There's an increase in agitation and anxiety as well, and just not wanting to do the day-to-day things that you typically do. So those are some of the common symptoms that are there.
Hey, Style Crew. I want to talk to you about the sponsor of the first season of the Style and Conversation podcast, which is Bite Authority. I am holding their multi-collagen protein, which is the very first product that introduced me to their brand as a whole. So I came across their multi-collagen protein after doing about a month of research to find the right collagen for me and my lifestyle. And I was looking for a collagen from a reputable company that had customer service that was available, that provided the daily recommended dosage of collagen, didn't include any sugar. They had a variety of flavors that appealed to me, or non-flavor in case I wanted to include it in my coffee or a smoothie one morning. And that's how I came across Bite Authority. I gave it a shot 1 month, and after that I was hooked. I became a recurring customer. And now 2 years later, they are a sponsor of our first season. So because of that, we have a special code for the listeners of Style and Conversation, which is Styled by Jess. That code is spelled STYLEDBYJESS. And that will get you 15% off their entire collection of products. In addition to their collagen, they have a variety of products for your lifestyle, whatever your needs may be. They have several supplements and tablets. So one of the tablets that I consume a couple of times per week is the Melt PM. And this actually aids in sleep support, appetite control, metabolism boost, and helps to reduce cravings to help with all of the things that aid with maintaining a healthy weight for us ladies. And so this is another product of theirs that I really love. And they have, like I said, a variety of products for whatever you're looking for. So just to tell you a little bit more about Bite Authority, at Bite Authority, we believe everyone should be able to take their health into their own hands, and we envision a future where health and nutrition products are found on counters in every single household. We pride ourselves on being an absolute authority when it comes to health and wellness supplements and set the standard on providing high-quality, science-based, clean, tested, and proven products for every person from every walk of life. Bite Authority can now be found at GNC retail stores, as well as other retailers nationwide, and has gone international in Canada, the Dominican Republic, Panama, the Caribbean, and Africa. For more information about Bite Authority and our commitment to promoting women's health, wellness, and active lifestyles, please visit www.biteauthority.com. And that is spelled V-I-T-A-U-T-H. O-R-I-T-Y. All right. Make sure you use the code Styled by Jess, and then let's jump back into this episode. Okay. And what, aside from the seasonal aspect, are there any other triggers that can bring on this disorder that our listeners should be aware of?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, like I just mentioned, the seasonal changes is the main trigger to seasonal affective disorder, but there's a lot of other things that can go on, you know, during this time that may be impacting someone, that may be impacting that mood stability and just interest in wanting to do things. I think even most recently at the beginning of this month, the presidential election, of course, is something that is impacting a lot of people right now, you know, and I don't want to get all into the politics, but, you know, it is something that a lot of people are finding difficult to navigate, and not just the election, the entire campaign that has taken place recently. So there's that. There's just different lifestyle changes as well. We're entering, well, we're in the holiday season, and so financial barriers, you know, and struggles start to really become known during this time. People are trying to buy gifts and, you know, want to do all the holiday type things. And financially, a lot of people are struggling, and that can add to an increase in sadness, relationship challenges, and even family dynamics during this time can be difficult to navigate. So there's a lot of different lifestyle things that can occur aside from just, you know, the shorter days of sunlight and the less sunlight that we're getting. But we have to just make sure that we're continuously assessing ourselves to make sure that we are becoming self-aware of what's going on with our mind and bodies.
When you say assessing ourselves, I agree with that. Can you go in deeper detail for our listeners on ways that we can assess ourselves?
Absolutely. Yes. So one of the things that I really try to get my clients to be intentional about is consistent assessment of just your physical and mental self, right? You always have to set aside that time to really ask yourself, how am I doing? You know, and what are some changes in my body that I may be experiencing and why, right? So what that could look like is you even being able to track that, take the time to track it using a journal, using your phone, a little notepad, and having some headlines there of this is how I felt this week and describing in detail what those emotions and feelings are. How intense have those emotions been? You know, are there things that I felt like were off? You know, have I woke up a lot later than usual this week? Am I going to bed a lot later? You know, is my consistent sleeping patterns off? Am I waking up every 30 minutes to an hour during the night? Or am I eating and engaging in more sweet foods and processed foods than I normally am? So really being able to take a deeper dive into all of those detailed questions to see if there's something that's off, and then asking, you know, okay, what's different about this time? You know, did I just experience a breakup? Right? Mm-hmm. Did I just experience some type of conflict with a friend? Did I just lose my job? You know, what are some possible triggers to some of these changes that you're experiencing?
Okay. I think that's really helpful information. So once someone has identified, based off of the symptoms that you described, either by themselves or through professional help, what are some of the recommended treatments to aid with seasonal depression?
Mm-hmm. One of the treatments that I typically, of course, do with people is talk therapy. That is the long-term solution and treatment to seasonal affective disorder. Talk therapy really helps clients to express any type of negative thought patterns that they're experiencing during that time. And then my job as a therapist is to help clients to reframe those negative thinking patterns, you know, also being able to build up resilience. So thinking ahead about different coping strategies and a self-care plan that you can engage in as we're approaching these winter, fall and winter months. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to problem solve what's going to help me during this time. So that is kind of the professional side of things when it comes to the talk therapy. Short term, there is light therapy, you know, and I'm not sure if that's something you've heard of or tried before, but light therapy. Yeah.
I've heard of it, but I haven't tried it.
Okay. So light therapy, it's a game changer. You know, I've heard great things about it, and it's just a matter of sitting in front of a light for at least 30 minutes. And it's supposed to mimic the natural sunlight that we typically get during those spring, summer months. And that is kind of a short term strategy to be able to cope with that lack of sunlight that we're getting outside naturally. So there's light therapy, there's mindfulness techniques, you know, really being able to engage in journaling during that time, taking mindful walks and really getting in tune with nature. So those are a couple of the treatment approaches that I typically engage my clients in and also suggest my clients to connect with.
Let me ask you this, in terms of the light therapy, are there certain lights that you would like to caution listeners to stay away from and some that you really have found to be more effective than others?
I think that people should consult with their primary care physician, you know, mm-hmm. prior to doing the light therapy, especially people who wear glasses or contacts, you know, mm-hmm. or have, you know, yeah. issues with their eyesight, because there are some side effects, just like with anything, you know, there can be some side effects, headaches and nausea as well. So you want to make sure that you get that recommendation from your primary care doctor as to maybe a particular light level that you need to make sure you look at. There's a lot of different, you know, models and things out there. So again, talking to the doctor and looking in those, in the detailed description of what it is and what that looks like is going to be important.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you, in addition to that, are there any, aside from the light therapy, mm-hmm. Are there any type of books, physical activities, or any other resources that you feel would be beneficial to share with the listeners for seasonal affective disorder?
Physical movement and activity, I think, is the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. I often feel like we don't realize how important physical movement is for our mind and body, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of maintain that positive mental state. But if you can try to move your body as much as possible during this fall and winter season, do that, you know, getting outside. And I know that can be a little bit difficult depending on where you are, because I'm here in Michigan, right? So mm-hmm. soon we're going to get that snow and it'll be a bit harder to be outside and take those walks. But even doing things inside, engaging in yoga, engaging in meditation exercises. There's a lot of apps out right now, of course, that you can use for a guided meditation on Headspace. And then there's the Calm app as well that is very beneficial. So I would say, you know, try to set aside time in your day to engage in that physical activity for whatever interests you. And try not to make excuses about, you know, no, it's too cold, or no, I don't feel like getting up, you know, just setting aside at least that small amount of time to do that.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's the accountability part about not finding the excuse, but still doing it anyway, because, you know, you'll feel better afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I agree with that. And I'm glad you made that note.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. In an effort to be proactive, once someone has recognized that they encounter seasonal affective disorder, when do you suggest that they begin these practices each year?
Yeah, as early as possible, right? Around that late summer, early fall time. You know, we have to treat this the same as preparing for winter. you know, especially if you live up north. You know, you're going to prepare for winter. What that looks like is stocking up on different food and water items and getting the coats and the gloves and the hats and all of that. You have to treat your mental health the same. So you know that each year, this is going to be a difficult time for you potentially to navigate. And so thinking ahead of time that, okay, I need to go ahead and figure out what my coping plan is going to look like, what my self-care plan is going to look like, trying to reach out to therapists early on in the summer so that you can make sure you have your spot in there. And even if you are already in therapy, you know, reminding your therapist that this is an issue for you and reviewing some of those coping skills that you all reviewed before so that you can just have a plan in place. So I would say start late summer, you know, early fall to get into therapy. If you need to, you want to go ahead and order that light for light therapy, go ahead and do that. And you could even start engaging in those early morning walks as well. So some of the things that you know you're going to do in the winter months to be able to maintain that positive mental state, start doing it early on so that you can get in that routine and be intentional with those patterns.
Okay. And I really like that you mentioned that, just thinking about it at the end, as the end of summer. Mm-hmm. Approaches, because we do still have some daylight. I mean, it lessens as we get closer to fall, but we still have some daylight. So you can start to prepare yourself for that change. For me personally, I love sunlight. I mean, I manage it for the health of my skin and other things. But I do enjoy sunlight. I enjoy having those longer evenings. So I definitely prepare myself around that time, just knowing, like, I start to take my dog for her evening walks earlier, just so I'm already in that state of mind that, okay, this change is coming. Like, it's not a favor. It's not a favorite of yours, but it's coming. So just go ahead and prepare for that. So I'm glad that you offered that.
Yes, yes. I'm the exact same way. I love the summer. Me and the winter do not get along. And it's a big change for me this year because I'm back in Michigan versus Georgia. And so, you know, preparing for this lack of daylight and all the snow and the cloudiness. Yeah, it's something that I have to think about ahead of time and prepare for.
Yeah, same girl. Me and the summer go together real bad. I'm a summer girl for sure. So it's definitely preparation for that. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. So I want to discuss holiday depression and anxiety a little bit. So after numerous conversations, I have realized that regarding holiday depression, again, this is just based on conversations that I've had, and I'm curious on your professional opinion. Many people struggle with missing a loved one or loved ones who have transitioned on. In addition to this, the anxiety of travel to and from a destination, trying to see as many loved ones as possible once they get to their destination, as well as trying to appease these loved ones with holiday activities as well as gifts. With your patients, are you hearing similar things? And if so, what are you offering as effective ways to manage all of this around the holiday time?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, it's every year, right, that many therapists, not just me, many therapists are hearing and working on with clients. These past couple of weeks and going into December are going to be pretty heavy for a lot of us because, yes, the societal expectation is holiday time is supposed to be joyous and happy and, you know, loving. But the reality is that it's not like that for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so for the ones that are grieving, for the ones that are thinking about the anxiety of having to travel and being around family who they may not necessarily want to be around, the thought of that just really impacts people's perspectives and outlook, right, on the holiday season. So it's all about having that mental preparation in place. You know, what do you want your holiday to look like this year? Is it traveling to that same family home, you know, for the same type of traditions? Mm-hmm. Is it putting some boundaries in place where it's like, okay, maybe I'll go for a little bit, but then I actually kind of just want to spend some time with myself, which is perfectly fine, you know? So I think taking a time to really figure out what you want your holiday to look like is going to be important. And then figuring out what boundaries you need to put in place to keep a safe space for yourself. This is a good time to engage in journaling as much as you can to really process and sit with any type of underlying thoughts and emotions that you might be experiencing. So journaling is that outlook that allows you to really understand what you're going through. You know, there are some things that you may be feeling that you can't necessarily say out loud, but when you pull out that pen and paper, it all comes out, you know? So that self-awareness of how you're feeling is going to be important to put out there. Also, I would say for the people who don't necessarily want to spend the holidays alone, you know, don't be afraid to increase that social connection and surrounding yourself with people who you feel like are going to keep you uplifted. You know, so if there's that friend, that family member who you know is going to bring a smile to your face, you feel good, you feel safe, you feel comfortable around, you know, reach out to that person, you know, plan a coffee date or something outside of the big family and friend gatherings and just have your connection and engagement that way. Also, for the people who experience heightened levels of anxiety during this time, really thinking about what that anxiety toolkit can look like. So this is something that I often help a lot of my clients to create based off their personal interests, their values, the things they like to do, is what are the things that are going to help you to manage that anxiety in the moment, right? Because you can do the things to try to prevent the anxiety as much as possible, but sometimes it's not preventable and it ends up still coming up. So how can you manage it in the moment? Is it making sure that you take a couple of breaks while you're out, you know, going to the bathroom and doing some deep breathing exercises? Is it making sure that you have an escape plan in place for that holiday gathering where, you know, there may be a lot of people or there are some family members or friends there who you may not necessarily want to be around. And it's like, okay, this is my time to go, but I have my escape plan in place, so I know what to do now. So it's really, you know, having those toolkits in place so you don't have to think so much in the moment, because when anxiety is present, you can sort of start to lose control, right, of what to do. And so when you have these things planned out ahead of time, then you already know some of the things that you can do to manage it.
That makes sense. I like that, offering an anxiety toolkit. And just for the sake of being resourceful, can you repeat those steps for the listeners?
Yeah, the steps for the toolkit?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's really being able to identify and understand what helps you in moments of heightened anxiety. So there could be mental preparation that looks like, say you're going to a holiday gathering, and before you get out of the car, you are trying to mentally prepare to go in, right? Maybe that anxiety is already starting to flare up a little bit. So sitting in your car for a moment, listening to some soft music, maybe even doing a guided meditation, right, will be helpful. And then once you're there and you're in the moment and you feel like that anxiety might be getting a little heavier at certain times, taking some time to break away. Right. Break away from the social engagement. You can walk outside of where you are. You can go to the bathroom and you can do some deep breathing exercises, some muscle relaxation, really trying to hone in on being present, thinking about where you are so that, you know, your mind can and body can come back to, okay, this is where I am. This is what I'm doing. How am I feeling? And if, of course, at any point you feel like it's starting to become less manageable, then making sure that you just remove yourself from the situation so that, you know, you don't end up going into some type of panic attack.
That's really important because that's the opposite of what you want to experience mm-hmm. at any given time, right? A panic attack. So anything you need to do to protect yourself mentally, it's important that we put those things in place and go ahead and arm ourselves so that when we do feel those things coming up, we can just be prepared and mm-hmm. avoid it altogether.
Absolutely.
I like that. I like that. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to ask you, is there any key advice that you want to leave the listeners with regarding the topics of seasonal affective disorder, as well as holiday depression and anxiety?
Sure. You know, I would say to try and change your perspective on seasonal affective disorder as much as possible. So instead of trying to fight against the seasonal changes, try to figure out how you can work with it, because we know it's going to happen, right? We know fall is going to come. We know winter is going to come. That's something we just can't change. So trying to figure out how to best work with it. If that's figuring out, you know, every winter you having a plan in place of this is the time I'm going to really be intentional about journaling, or this is the time I'm going to go out and buy my favorite candles, you know, to put around the house, or let me go ahead and create a new self-care plan for myself as we're transitioning into winter, really trying to figure out the best ways to navigate it for yourself so it doesn't always have to be viewed as such a negative thing. So essentially, you're just trying to really engage in the things that bring you the most joy. You know, that we don't have to experience joy just in the summer and in springtime. There are plenty of fun and creative things that you can do during the fall and winter months as well. And then also don't underestimate the power of small things. You know, we can be consistent with just the very small things that can make a bigger impact than we think, right? So if it's just going outside for 5 minutes, you know, and not feeling like you have to be outside for a whole hour, you know, that 5 minutes can make a big impact, right? So being consistent in those little things as much as possible and not feeling like you have to focus on all the things either, you know? So we talked about a lot of different things that people can do. I would encourage listeners to just pick at least 1 to 2 things to really focus on so that you don't feel overwhelmed by all the things. You know, that's something I try to make sure I encourage my clients to do, because, of course, in therapy, we can talk about so many different techniques and strategies. And, you know, people are writing down like, OK, I got to do this, this and that. And I got to think of a whole plan to do. And it's like, no. You can just focus on 1 to 2 things and try to be as consistent as you can with that and give yourself grace so that you just don't feel so overwhelmed, right?
I think that's important to focus on doing 1 to 2 things really well to have the mm-hmm. best effect instead of trying to do all the things and being partially in mm-hmm. on multiple things. So I think that's a really good approach.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to be able to do all the things, but realistically,
it's just not reality.
No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. That's completely okay to not be able to do all the things well. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make you any less human. It actually makes you more human.
Exactly. Yes.
I like it. So the title of the podcast is Style and Conversation, and I like to close out by asking our guests one style-related question. So because we are in the holiday season, you know, in recent years on social media, we've seen the joke about our living room outfit for Thanksgiving. So I wanted to ask you, when it comes to the day of Thanksgiving, Christmas, or any holiday in between that you celebrate during this time. Mm-hmm. Are you more of a comfort girly, or are you coming with the looks?
You know what? Interesting enough. I'm usually the coming for the looks girly. You know, I am a heels girl. I love to dress up. Yes. But this holiday, it's a little bit different. You know, November was very busy for me. These past couple of months, I've been super busy, but November specifically has been very busy. And so I haven't even had the time to really go get a Thanksgiving outfit. And I didn't even get my daughter a Thanksgiving outfit this year. So I think we're keeping it casual this year. And then Christmas, usually I like to just like be in our pajamas all day, unless we're going to go out, you know, to a family dinner. This year might just be casual. We may have to run the looks back next year.
I like that. And you know what? You're putting your own advice to practice by assessing, like, how am I feeling this year? I've had this and this going on. So maybe I won't go over the top. You know, maybe I'm going to do this, and doing what makes you feel great. Exactly. And by the way, I just want to encourage the listeners, there is no right or wrong. If you are serving for the gods, or if you're coming in your comfort chic, like, whatever makes you happy and comfortable on that day, like, that is what matters, honestly.
I agree.
I love it. And I love the idea of being in PJs on Christmas, especially like if you're at home or if you're with family. Like, I just love that comfort aesthetic. Mm-hmm. That something about that on Christmas Day.
Yes, it's a must.
It is. It definitely is. And so you have given us so many tools today. So I want to give you the opportunity to tell the listeners where to find you, how to keep up with the Wellness Social, as well as give you the opportunity to spotlight your nonprofit, your amazing nonprofit that you have. And I also want to ask if you are accepting new clients, and if so, if that is exclusive to certain states, or what are the stipulations around that if you are accepting new clients?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. So I am accepting new clients. The Wellness Social actually is now accepting insurance as well. So initially I was self-pay, and now I am paneled with insurance companies, Blue Cross, United, Aetna, and Cigna. Mm-hmm. So if you are with that insurance provider, I can definitely take you on as a client. And if you're out of network, I have self-pay rates and sliding scale rates as well. So if you want to follow the Wellness Social on social media, we are on Instagram at the Wellness Social, and you can visit the website, thewellnesssocial.com. And you can also email me at dreasley@thewellnesssocial.com. So those are some different ways that you can get in touch with me, and there's information on how to get started with getting a consultation completed if you're interested in therapy services. And like I said, hopefully in the new year, you know, we'll be executing a in-person or virtual wellness workshop here in Michigan. I'm licensed in Georgia and Michigan. So if you reside in one of those states, then I can provide therapeutic services. And then, yes, so I do have a nonprofit, Therapeutic for Girls Incorporated. It is a nonprofit specifically for young Black girls. And we are committed to breaking barriers of mental health access with my organization. So we provide free mental health and wellness programs. We actually just wrapped up our last program of the year, was called Girl Vibes and Ride, and it focused on cycling and mindfulness in Atlanta. So super excited for how that turned out. We have a school and community-based program, and are starting to get our school-based program implemented here in Detroit, Michigan in 2025. So if you want to learn more about my nonprofit, you can follow at Therapeutic for Girls on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. And then therapeutforgirls.org is the website.
And I'll be sure to include all of that information in the episode bio for the listeners. So they'll have all the ways to contact you, find out more about your services if they're in those states, as well as support your nonprofit. And I just want to thank you for being willing to share your expertise on this topic. You gave us such great information going into the holidays, as well as we transition from fall to winter. I know it's going to get cooler for a lot of us in different parts of the country, so this will be extremely helpful to ward off any of those symptoms. And I just appreciate you so much, and the work that you're doing is very necessary.
Thank you so much. And again, thank you for providing this space for me to do that. I hope, you know, something that I mentioned today resonated with your audience. And
I agree. I think you said a lot that will resonate and help a lot of people. So I'm looking forward to hearing good things from people putting these things in practice, for sure.
Good.
All right. And with that, Style Crew, we are out for another episode, and I will see you all next Thursday. Hey, Style Crew, make sure you're keeping up with our podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, as well as the Podcast Index. And if you'd like to view the podcast visually, check out my YouTube channel, Styled by Jessica Lauren. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at style_andconversationpodcast.